message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
Hallelujah. It's my privilege to welcome you to God's presence tonight. And I know that no one is going back home the same in the name of Jesus. I'd like to hear your loudest amen. I know you are expecting something. Hallelujah. I say, I know you are expecting something. And I know that your expectation shall not be cut short. Can I hear you say a big amen? I'll be speaking tonight on victory over financial pressure. Victory over financial pressures. And I trust God that tonight is a night that no one here will forget in the name of Jesus. You are destined to be victorious in life, in all the battles of life. God's intention for you is to be victorious in every aspect of life. His intention is that you are never a casualty in any facet of your life. And one of the major areas of life where many believers have issues is finance. And that's what we'll be talking about majorly in the course of this month, both in our Wednesday services and our Sunday services, because it's a large topic and it requires a lot of... But we'll be talking about different things at different times. And some of them will be prophetic services, some will be teaching services as the Holy Spirit leads us. And one of the major things that causes pressure in the life of Christians is finance. And I've often said that when one has pressure, you move from pressure to tension. And from tension to hypertension. And I pray for somebody here tonight, you'll never be a victim or a candidate of hypertension in Jesus' name. And tension and hypertension comes with things like headache, migraine, chest pain, and things like that. And it will never be your portion in Jesus' name. Many people's problem in life is not the devil's, it's finance. The problem of many human beings in life is not the devil. And I've often said that the devil is not omnipotent. He's not everywhere at the same time. He's in one place at a time. So sometimes when people have problems and they say it's the devil, sometimes it's not the devil. It's just information. The Bible says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So in the course of our various teachings, in the course of this month, we'll be exposing the truth and we'll be looking at what we need to do to overcome financial pressure. Factors that put people under financial pressure. What are the factors? What are the things that brings Christians and even non-Christians into financial pressure, financial mess, financial hurdles? Number one is an extravagant lifestyle, or what I call impulsive buying. Extravagant lifestyle or impulsive buying. Another word for extravagant lifestyle is a reckless lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of wastage. It's a lifestyle of buying things abruptly. In the book of Luke chapter 15, Luke 15 from verse 12 to 15, we know that story very well of the prodigal son. He and the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth unto me. Give me of the portion of goods that falleth unto me. And he divided them his living. And not many days after, almost immediately, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with righteous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swines. And when he would fain have filled his belly with hawks that the swine did eat, and no man gave even this unto him. He had substance, he had wealth, but he traveled, he took a journey, and he began to squander the money. He was moving from shop to shop. He was moving from place to place. And as he did that, he squandered the money. Spent the money on girls, spent the money on partying, and he wasted the money. And the Bible says he began to be in want. That's what happens to everybody who is a squanderer. In Proverbs 21 verse 20, the Bible says there's a treasure to be desired, an oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spended it up. One of the signs of foolishness is spending it all. That is, every single kobo that comes is spent, is squandered, is not invested, is not saved, is not used for something profitable. In Proverbs 21 verse 17, Proverbs 21 verse 17, the Bible says, he that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. Anybody that loveth pleasure. Say, what is your hobby? I just like spending. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine. Say, I love wine. And I love the tastiest of wine. That is, I love my stomach more than anything. He said, he will not be rich. He will not be a rich man. I discovered in my short life that poor people eat more than rich people. I once had a driver many years ago. I had to ask him one day, your food intake is too massive. It's taking you anywhere within this. If you go inside somewhere within the space of going inside to come out, he has already bought 5 different items. Always munching something. Always munch. The only time I see that he doesn't eat is when they do their fast. And his eyes will be like fire like this throughout that period. You almost tell him, please park, let me take the steering from you. He that loveth wine and oil, that loves spending. In fact, there are some people, their nickname is spending. They call their nickname spending. Spending. Like squanderer. Guy. Such people will always enter into financial pressure. Because they have nothing aside. They have nothing kept for the rainy day. If Joseph has spent everything that he had in the first 7 years, when there were so much, he won't have anything to play with. He won't have anything to walk back with. And in the second 7 years, when people were practically almost eating themselves, many have tasted wealth, but it has been squandered. But it will never be like that for you in Jesus' name. Don't be a senior waster. No, we have senior advocate of Nigeria. Don't be a senior waster. Don't be a wasteful man or a wasteful daughter or a wasteful mother. Plan your life, or ensure that you are not an extravagant person. Don't be a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter. Ensure that you manage the resources that God has given to you wisely. And I pray that God will help us in Jesus' name. Number two, factor that puts people under pressure is lack of planning. Lack of planning. You must realize your level in life per time. A tree cannot grow from the top, it must grow from the bottom. Your level in life per time is what will determine your plan per time. You need to plan your spending. If you cannot afford to spend, if you cannot afford to go to a particular shop because things are so expensive there, then go to somewhere that is lesser. If you cannot afford a particular, recently somebody in our family died. And an elderly person, and they sent text to me for Ashwebi. I didn't buy. Not because I don't have the money, but my plan does not go into that area for now. So when I got to the burial, I was expecting them that people would not greet me, but they still greeted me. But some went to borrow money to buy that clothes. So plan. This a behavior of not planning before you spend places you under pressure. A behavior of just spending at random places you under, especially when you don't have the resources. I can't imagine a man taking his salary is 30,000 per month and his children's school is 250,000 per term. Your salary is 10,000 per month and your children's school fees is 500,000. You will steal. So life is in phases and men are in sizes. Oh, did Buhari go to a school of 1 million naira before he became president? Free school. Can you imagine that? Free school, free WAEC, free primary school, everything. People just place themselves under pressure. Do you know something? You can never impress people. That's one thing people don't know. There's nothing you can do that can impress them. So to say that my children is going to those school when you cannot afford it, it's not a good development. It's the call to pressure. And if you cannot rent a 4-bedroom flat, go and rent a room and parlor. If your pocket cannot rent 4-bedroom flat for now, go and rent a room and parlor. Don't be fasting 7 days prayer to pray your rent. It's a sign that you are a foolish person. Why are you fasting? Say, I'm fasting to get money to pay my rent. Why? Why are you putting yourself under pressure? Who knows you? Who knows your address? Don't give yourself pressure. Don't put yourself under unnecessary pressure. When you put yourself under pressure and you become sick, those people will not even come and greet you in the hospital. And behind you, they will be making fun of you. I like Curry. Look at her. We know her salary. Look at where she's living. So ensure that you don't place yourself under unreasonable pressure. If your house you are living for now is 3-bedroom flat and you know that the money is getting too much, go to a 2-bedroom or a 1-bedroom. From that 1-bedroom, God can bless you and you build your own house from there. May the Lord give us understanding. I say, may the Lord give us understanding. Number 3, factor that puts people under pressure is unreasonable assumptions. Unreasonable assumptions. This is useless assumptions that people are going to supply you the money you need. For example, you are doing a naming ceremony. Instead of you to cut your coat according to the size of that naming ceremony, you now went to borrow bottles of Montina, bottles of wine, bottles of fiber. They say, they will give me money, tire. Pastor will give me money. President pastor will give me money. My friends will give me money. Architect, so. Yes, I did him a favor. He will give me money. My cousin in Dubai will give me money. You will be surprised. You will be surprised. There are some of the people you expected, they will not come for that naming ceremony because that's a useless assumption. You are planning your life on somebody else's money. Why? It's a very, very stupid way of living. To plan one's life on another person's resources. Your uncle just became a commissioner. You know, I say, I'm very, very sure. From his first salary, he must give me 100,000 there. All right. You are the one that appointed him. You'll be surprised that when you phone him, he will be busy. You'll be surprised that when you call him, his number will not go again. Don't assume. Don't work on assumptions that are useless. In Luke 14:28 talks about, he says, for which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counted the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it. The project you want to do, go and do it within what God has given to you. I know people that have done wedding 6 years ago and they are still paying for the wedding now. 6 years ago. Some 3 years ago. Some 4 years ago. They are still paying the debt for the wedding now. Any project you want to do, do it within the resources God has given to you. You want to do wedding. You did hair of 500,000. Yet your fiancé has not rented the house. And you have deposited 250,000 for hair. For what reason? Who do you want to impress? He said, I'm very, very sure. When they see my hair on the day of my wedding, people will just be spraying me money. People will just be spraying you money. How are you? I can't believe this. Now people like this are still in existence. You are sure they will be spraying you money? They have written you letter that they will spray you money. If somebody like me, for example, attends your wedding, I will not spray you money. I don't spray money in parties. I prefer to give you the money than to be spraying you money. Have I even attended the party first for me to even now think of spraying you money? If I have my own way, self, on the day of my own party, self, I will not be there. I will be doing something else. I have no time. There is no time. What do you mean? If it's party I'm going about, we'll be able to preach and teach like this. Psalms 118 verse 8 to 9 and Proverbs 3 verse 26. Psalm 118 verse 8 to 9. The Bible says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Don't assume that somebody somewhere is you that they are thinking of. It's you they are thinking of. People that once they leave you like this, they have already forgotten you. Immediately they left you like this, they didn't even remember you again. It's better to put your confidence in the Almighty God who created you than to be putting your confidence in your sister in Canada. Canada called Lala Dani. You can't do that. That's why you must take your life serious so that you can end glorious. You can't put trust in anybody. Proverbs 3 verse 26 also. I have so many scriptures, but because of time, I can't move through them. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. The only person that you can be sure that will never put you, that will never let you down is God himself. That's why you must not put your confidence in anybody. Don't assume that the bills of your wedding will be taken care of by somebody else. That your capital for your business is coming from your brother in America. He might not remember you. Do you know the problem he's going through? The problem of most of people abroad are more than the people that are here. Water bill. Many of you here have never paid water bill before since. Water bill. Light bill. Telephone bill. Property tax. Everything. Tax. So they have so much problems. May the Lord give us understanding. I say, may the Lord give us understanding. So if you don't want financial pressure, plan based on your available resources. Plan based on what God has given you to you to part. That's why you yourself, you must put in your best into your task. You must put in your best. Don't be thinking that something is coming from somewhere. It might come, it might not come. If it comes, we thank God. If it doesn't, to God be the glory. Number four, factor that puts people under pressure is disobedience. Walking in disobedience brings people under pressure. In Job 9 verse 4, the Bible speaking there says, he is wise in heart and mighty in strength, who had hardened himself against him and had prospered. He is wise in heart, that's talking about God, and mighty in strength, talking about God, who had hardened his heart against him. And is there anybody that disobeyed God and prosper? That's what the Bible is trying to say. He's a mighty God. Is there anybody that hardened himself against God and he prospered? Anybody that walk in disobedience and prosper is a temporary prosperity. In Isaiah 1 verse 19, if ye be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. If you are a willing person and you are obedient, then you will eat. Many are in hardship because they are not obedient. Obedient to the principles of giving, particularly the principles of offering and tithing. I'll not talk much about that tonight. In other services, we hope and pray that we'll have more time to do that. A non-giver will always be poor. Take it from me. A person that is not a giver will always be poor. We'll be scratching the ground like this. Because you get to a level that you ask us that people will get tired. You get tired because they are human. So you must launch yourself to the realm whereby you position yourself to be prosperous. And that realm is the realm of giving. Luke 6 verse 38, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, press down and shake it together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. So if you are ready to give, you receive. Anyone that you see that is not giving can never be prosperous. I think I've often said it before to my daughters here, don't marry a stingy man. A man that doesn't like giving. Say, what I hate most in life is when I stretch out my hand to give somebody something. I hate it. Don't marry him. One of my sisters, I've told you the story before. One of my younger sisters was many years ago dating someone who was also close to us. The mother of that person was close to my mother. And he was doing very well in an oil company. Doing very, very well. And he was dating her. And then one day she just told me that she's not going dating him again. I said, why? This good guy, handsome guy, this and that. I'm not. Say, why? He's a very stingy guy. I said, if that is the reason, forget about it. And the guy went his way. She also went away. She eventually got married. And she has 3 children now, doing very, very well. And her husband is not a stingy man. Not a stingy man. Doing very, very well. As in very, very well. If you marry a stingy man, hey, guy, you know what they call suffer? You know, have you heard about suffer before? You never taste out of it. I say you never taste out of it. That's why there is a period of courtship. You watch. Once you see that he's acagomistic, he's stingy, especially to God, he will not be prosperous. He cannot be prosperous. Some people will say, what about people that are not believers? Some unbelievers, they give more than believers. They give more than believers. I tell you this. I've worked with them in secular organizations. They give more than tithing when they want to give. They only more than tithing and offering. They give massively. If your desire is to get out of financial pressure, don't be like this. I always tell my children, when I see them fighting over things, I say, be liberal. Be liberal. Life is not like this. Share what you have. Because if you don't handle children most of those who are stingy as adults, it started from childhood. A mother gave you chin chin. And I said, please give me. And I did like this. The mother just gave you the chin chin now. And I said, can I have some? She's already shown you that she'll be very stingy when she grows up. So you tell her, you, I gave you that chin. Oh yeah, give it back to me. If you don't know that, there's not anything called giving. I gave it to you, you also give to others. Train your child in the way that it should go. When it's old, you will not depart from it. So, be a person that obey this law of giving. And if you do it for 1 year, consistently, and you are not a blessed person, you can do anything you want to do for me. Anything. Because your giving opens the door for you. Your giving opens the door for you. Every time you give, I have so much to talk about tonight, so I might not be able to go deep into this, but I can tell you this. When we talk about open heavens, it's only about two or three places in the Bible that God talks about opening heavens. About two places. He doesn't just talk about open heavens anymore. He talked about it when he was talking about tithing in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. I will open your heavens. The only other place he talked about, I will open your heavens, I will open your heavens, was when he talked to Noah that he was going to open the heavens for rain. The only thing that opens your heavens so easily and effortlessly is your giving. If you are giving now, you are not yet seeing returns, just keep giving. Once you know this secret, you don't have problem in life. Or money is not your problem. Money, the issue of money is not your problem. Your obedience to giving always brings blessings to you. In Psalm 68, verse 6, the C part, it said the rebellious shall dwell in a dry land. Those who are rebellious, those who are disobedient to God, said they will dwell. If rebellious means they are disobedient, they refuse to listen to instructions, it must be that they want my money. They want my money. That's why they are telling me to obey God. They want your money. They are now telling you to obey God. When you did obey God, were you the one that was doing it? In my place, they said they are trying to save a little chicken from death. He said, why didn't you let me go to that dirty place and go and feed there? Your giving has benefit to you. You are the one that will be blessed. You are the one that will be blessed. And I pray for someone here today, all the days of your life, you will always be a giver in Jesus' name. I say you will always be a giver in Jesus' name. These areas are very many. We can talk about that in subsequent services, areas for which you can give. But of course, you know that giving, tithing, offerings, and all that are one of the major areas that we need to obey God. I've never seen anybody who consistently gives to God and who is in lack. Once you are giving, God will be opening. God will be opening. Strange people you don't even beg money from, they will bless you. If you do not ask them for money, they will bless you. You do not ask them. You do not say, please, I need money. They will still bless you. Because you are a giver. God will go and touch their heart. God will touch the heart of somebody for you today. God will touch the heart of somebody for you today. God will touch the heart of helpers for you today. Can I hear your loudest amen? Can I hear your loudest amen? You can't cause a giver not to have money. I cause this person not to have money. It's not impossible. Because the more he has it, the more he gives it. The more he has it, the more he gives it. The more she has it, the more she gives it. Be liberal. Number five factor that puts people under pressure is self-deceit. Self-deceit. In 1 Corinthians 3 verse 18, it says, let no man deceive himself. Don't deceive yourself. Let no man deceive himself. It is amazing the number of people that live in self-deception. Be realistic with yourself. Don't deceive yourself. Many are under pressure because of this issue of deceit. A guy goes to his uncle and borrows a car and takes it to a girl's house and says, this is the car I just bought yesterday. And he poses on the car and says, I just bought this car yesterday. 3 million. He said, 3 million. So you have 3 million. When you tell a girl you have 3 million, yes, you don't have 30,000. By the following day, what do you think she will ask you? She'll be asking you for big, big money. Before she asks you, please send me credit, 400 naira, you send it. Now you say you bought a car of 3 million. If you bought a car of 3 million, then you must be worth 30 million. Then she moves her demand up. Then, Brazilian. Then you now become, your pressure is now multiplied. Don't live in self-deception. Many Christians live in self-deception. Everything about their life is deception. Everything. Deception. 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 Women are so good with management. They don't have problem with management. Women only have problem with deception. When you deceive them, they show you pepper. But when there's no deception, this is what I'm earning. There's no need for any pressure. When the person's grandmother died, she knows that your salary per month is 50,000. She will not come and tell you, please, my grandmother just died. Please, we need 3 million. She won't ask you that kind of useless, stupid demand. Because it means that she wants you to go to the road and stop a car and use gun. She will land you inside jail. And God help you that they don't even gun you down or send you to life imprisonment. So don't deceive yourself. Don't even pretend that some people will take phone like this and say, hello, Aliko Dangote. You called me today. I've been calling you since 3 days ago. Aliko. That's very good. Oh, you've sent in the 1 billion. Oh, good. That's very good. Wonderful. All right. That's very wonderful. Okay, I will send you the commodities. Yes, the sugar items. Yes. All right. So we'll meet at the boat club on Saturday in Ikoyi. Okay, greet everybody for me. Okay, bye-bye then. Greet Otedola for me. Self-deception. There are some people, if they tell you good morning like this, you first go outside and say, is it morning yet? Because everything is a fluke. It's a lie. Don't live a life of a lie. Don't live a life of a lie. No! You don't need it. You can't impress these people with that lifestyle. May the Lord give us understanding. I say, may the Lord give us understanding. I say, may the Lord give us understanding. I say, may the Lord give us understanding. A life of self-deceit will always bring a person into further poverty. It will bring a person into penury. It will bring a person into shame. Because on the day they know that you are lying, definitely nobody will want to have anything with you again. Immediately that lady knows that everything you have been telling her is a lie, she will not want to have anything to do with you again. Just let her know what you are worth. If possible, sir, you can even, it's better to downplay what you are worth than to overblow what you are worth. Hello? Hello? It's better to downplay what you are worth than to say that you are worth what you are not worth. No! No! It's not necessary. It's not necessary. I've seen people come before and say, sir, please, can I get some money for you to put in my account so that I can go and show them at the embassy? I don't think, to me, it's not necessary. If God is going with you with favor, go there. He will bless you. I've gone to embassy before. They did not ask me for any bank statement. And they gave me visa. They did not ask me for any bank statement. Any bank statement. And they gave me visa. They did not ask me for anything. They just look at bring your passport. That's all. It depends on what you carry. Ask your neighbor, what do you carry? Why is what you carry that matters? It's what you carry that matters. As a lady, don't want to copy what your friends are doing. What they are wearing, you don't know where they are getting money from. Hello? You don't know where they are getting money from. As a young lady, if you try to copy them, listen, they might push you into prostitution. Many ladies have entered into prostitution between because they wanted to do copycats. They wanted to go do copycats. Many married women have entered into services because they wanted to copy others. Now, listen to this. Married women that are here today, live within God, within what God has blessed your family with. What God has blessed you with, what God has blessed your husband with. Live within what God has. Don't be stretching your neck towards another neighbor or another person somewhere. It's not necessary. So that your husband will not go into armed robbery. So that one day they will not phone you that you should come and meet your husband in Alagbo. And for husbands that are here today, ensure that you are not deceptive. Don't hide things from your wife. Also ensure that you are in charge of your house. Hello? Because I discovered that it's necessary that women have necessary control. If you leave a young girl is meant to be under the control of her parents. Hello? A young lady is meant to be under the control of her parents. A married woman is meant to be under the control of her. If you leave your wife without controlling her and showing her what to do, she will disgrace you. She will disgrace you. You know the story of Adam and Eve. Eve was left without control and she disgraced Adam mercilessly. So that's why the Bible says that women should be submissive and then men should love. If you are a woman, be under that control because that's your umbrella. Once the umbrella is removed from you, you'll see that there's nothing left. Ensure that you don't live a life of deception. Don't want to be on your own. Live a life of under that control. Don't be deceived. You're no longer single. If you are a single lady, I was counseling one of my daughters who was going to school on one of our daughters here on Sunday. I said, Mom, remember the daughter of who you are. Don't get to school and say, I'm freer now. I'm not even in Lorry. I'm not in Impact House. Nobody can control. I said, don't do that. Learn to be under control so that your life not be, go out of control. Learn to, because if you don't do this, you will live in deception. You want to do what others are doing. As a married woman, you do what has been instructed by your husband. Because that's your head. That's the person God has placed you over you. As a daughter, you do what has been instructed by your parents and those that are your guardians. Don't live in deception. As a man, don't live in deception. Don't do borrow post of anything. Anything God has given to you, thank God for it. Any resources God has given to you, plan based on that. And before you know it, you have escaped all forms of financial pressure. There are still many more to go in the course of this series, and we are trusting God that none of us will go back the same in the name of Jesus. Anybody blessed tonight? If you are blessed, shout hallelujah. If you are blessed, give Jesus a big clap, everybody. Hallelujah.
Wow. I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road in Lorry. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. I appreciate you.